All right, this is Tom Imison again. We're resuming our meeting here in our virtual meeting room. So welcome back, everybody. I do want to remind members of the public that if you would like to submit written testimony for decision or informational items presented at this meeting, if you want to have those provided for the record, please send in your comments by August 5th. Our next item is the Committee for Family Forest Land Annual Report. Josh Bernard will kick this off. And I understand have Evan Barnes with us for this today as well, and Barrett Brown. So Josh, we'll turn it to you.
All right, thanks, Tom. Good afternoon, Chair Imison, members of the board, and State Forester Doherty. For the record, I'm Josh Bernard, Deputy Chief for the Private Forest Division. Joining me today are Evan Barnes, Chair of the Committee for Family Forest Lands, and Barrett Brown, our Northwest Landowner Representative. In a moment, they're going to tell you a bit more about their properties and key topics that the Committee for Family Forest Lands has been working on over the past year. As you know, the Committee for Family Forest Lands is one of your standing advisory committees. The CFF was established by the Oregon Board of Forestry to assist the state forester and the board on issues relevant to some 70,000 family forest landowners in the state on the formulation of policy and the evaluation of the effects that changes in forest policy will have on those lands. The committee typically meets with the department September through June with a break in December and engages staff from other agencies as needed relating to their work. Over the past year, the committee put in a tremendous effort on the various topics that are identified in the annual report that was submitted to you as part of the materials. I'll also say that the committee is very interested in raising the awareness of who family forest landowners are and what these lands contribute to the landscape of Oregon. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Evan Barnes, the chair of the committee.
We can hear you now.
Okay. Thank you, Josh, for that introduction. To the board chair, Imison, and Peter Doherty, state forester, thank you. So you've read the report. We have our report, and I certainly am not going to go through all 8 pages there. You see the chairman's introduction there. And I guess I just hit on the high points here. I know you've got a lot to do, and you feel like we're in good hands, and we appreciate your support. I guess the biggest thing, you know, the Governor's Wildfire Council has met and brought its recommendations forward, and it really is in the hand of the legislature for funding, and obviously that's a big problem. You know, just here in Douglas County, we've had a fire Monday and a fire yesterday. Fortunately, the 2 ships, I think, are here, one from the Severity Program, and they were able to get around those pretty quickly. My biggest message in speaking several different times over the last lot of years has been fire, fire, and more fire. If we can't get our hands around fire issues, we won't be able to talk about seedlings. We won't be able to talk about pre-commercial thinning. We won't be able to talk about any of the forest issues that we really need to work on because we're going to have fire. So yeah, that's in the hands of others, but certainly you guys have the ability to put some interest and some pressure on them to fund these. But in these COVID times, there's only so much money going around, and it's going to be short. The other part, you know, that we worked on, and we'll stop talking about it, was the House Bill 2469 that came out of our committee and was able to have succession planning for forest properties of certain acreages, which we think is really huge. And then the MOU that came through, I was, you know, in reading that, astounded when I read the first signing page. And then I realized there was a second page which brought it up to like 25 signatures of people of some pretty high horsepower companies and individuals that signed on to the MOU, which we hope will move forward. And there will be some great consequences out of that. So we've set this up that Barrett will answer some questions, and I'll help out if it's something that he's not aware of, which I don't think there would be a capable individual. I will say lastly that I'm in the last year of my 2-3 year terms. So next June, I will be termed out. And I think that's a great thing because we have this movement of individuals and appointees that keep the committee vibrant and with lots of different voices. So if thus there's any questions specifically for me, I'll turn it over to Barrett Brown.
Great. Thank you.
Terrific. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate that. In a bit here, I'll have Josh pop a slide or two up so you have something to look at other than just our faces. Chair Imeson, State Forester Doherty, for the record, and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Barrett Brown. I'm here before you this afternoon as the Northwest Oregon Area Representative for the Committee for Family. I'll say a little bit about a couple of our committee initiatives this past year. Talk about forest land ownership generally and a little bit about our tree farm. First, we set ourselves up to more rigorously align our work plan with yours. We want to optimize both the timing and utility of the advice we provide. So we'll work hard to schedule our own information gathering, collection of testimony from experts, and our deliberations so that the advice we do provide meets you where you are to best help in your work. That's going to be important to us. Next, my friend and fellow committee member, Kayola Swanson, Forest Program Director with Sustainable Northwest, joined me on what we think was an important committee charter revision project. She and I worked last year to more thoughtfully define our committee's internal processes for providing the board with formal advice. These changes kind of clarify that our advice to the board will focus around improving services to and understanding of family forest landowners. Also, that after we do some really carefully facilitated deliberations and consider input from within and without, from outside our diverse committee, that we'll seek but not require consensus in voting to approve any final statements you receive from us. And also, importantly, that the presentation to you of those statements or positions will include a really respectful, transparent depiction of any remaining dissenting views. So we think that'll actually give you more confidence in our conclusions and our processes. A little about our farm. I think, as I've described to maybe you all before, our family owns a small tree farm in North Washington County that we've been trying to shape up for about 30 years. It's about 110 acres in a classic urban interface zone with about 16 neighbors on one side and larger private timber and public ownership on the other. We've got three small type N tributaries that feed about a half mile of SSBT stream that's proven really important for coastal coho in the Tualatin River Basin into the Willamette. You know, in recognition of really every other member of my family and some key friends and trusted allies in the family forest community, I want to share that we're this year's Washington County Woodlands Association Tree Farmer of the Year. I just wanted to kind of depict, when we borrowed every dime it took to buy our kind of rough cut over a tree farm when we were young, we had one type of management plan. I was primarily focused on the classic retirement age investment. Over time, as we realized more of the kind of recreation returns from the recreation opportunities of the trails and views and so on, quiet places, those values were added to the table, so to speak, and to our management plan. And as time goes by, life's rolls of the dice turn as they may. And, you know, we have to be honest about the extent to which luck plays into our circumstance. I deserve as much credit for the zip code into which I was born as I do of the melanin content of my skin. At any rate, our financial objectives began to share more space on the table with recreation and increasing understanding of the ecosystem services that our farm could provide. So, I mean, it's very rewarding to be able to take steps and invest in ways that can really make a difference in the performance of various habitat in our landscape. Now for my son and our grandson, those dice might roll in a very different way. And the financial value represented on this ground, you know, may become extremely important. That'll be for his management plan to contemplate. But we do get a lot out of building a healthy suite of options and values on our ground. And I think we'd like at a future meeting to be able to say more about what some national survey information is starting to tell us about family forest values and the landowners who hold them. These data are shaping up to tell us some very interesting and diverse things about what these landowners hold. And I think Oregonians, the more they learn about these, will really appreciate them. One more thing, I was talking to a reporter the other day who indicated he thought to really get a handle on what family forest landowners wanted, he merely needed to check with the timber industry lobbyist. And, I hope I was able to correct that misapprehension with him. You know, the value of our family forest community is its diversity, you know, and that's apparent when you witness the 50 or 60 people that gather in our firehouse once a month. The couple on my left may never dream of actively managing their forest at all. Whereas the woman on my right might have a management plan that more closely resembles a small industrial perspective. But in that firehouse, you know, we're sharing coffee and cookies and ideas. You know, we're gathered to listen to a presentation on pollinators and native plants or timber equipment. And to simply share with each other what we've learned on our forests. And, you know, it's in that light, whether it's from typecasting or tribalism or regulations that undermine family forest viability, you know, I hope to kind of resist things that can divide or diminish how well that community performs for us and for all Oregonians. Because I'm too busy trying to keep track of entertaining you all, I forgot to have Josh put up our slides there. Josh, give me a smile. These were just a couple slides on family forest ownership in Oregon. I think let's do this. Let's just conclude with a short video. And maybe during the Q&A, we can pop up those slides. Would that work for you, Josh? You can just give me a nod. Great. So what we've got is a little award-winning quote. It was a conservation short category video recap of a big stream restoration project we teamed up to donate some logs on to make happen. And this grew out of a big collaboration between the NRCS, Tualatin River Watershed Council, OWEB, and a couple of neighboring landowners. And after that, you know, please throw any questions at Evan or myself, and we'll take it from there. Josh, go ahead.
So if I were to look at East Fork Dairy Creek and try and put it in context with restoration that could occur in the entire Tualatin Basin, I'm looking at this 1 mile reach as one of probably the top four opportunities to really have an impact on salmonid recovery for the Tualatin. So I've been working in the industry for about 40 years now. I'm extremely passionate for restoration because I've spent a long time learning some difficult lessons. Part of the basic assessment that I consider critical for all watersheds is to get a baseline of fish distribution. Let the fish tell the story. So to do that, we're actually snorkeling and counting each one of these different populations. We got a really good sense of where fish were currently using the basin when the conditions are most limiting, the months of late July and August. Those anchor habitats become really important because those are the places that will continue to perform and to produce salmonids in both good years and bad years. But all of those anchor habitats are not performing up to their highest capacity. And this is the place that we wanted to focus our restoration dollars. There are some key things that we have injected into this restoration plan that are critical for what's limiting salmonids in this reach. And I'd have to say probably the most important one is access to thermal refugia. And so a key component of this project was developing off-channel alcoves that are actually spring-fed. They will function both during the summertime for cold water refuge and as off-channel refuge in the wintertime during a flood event. If you have a compelling story for small landowners, they're all on board. We're working on a full suite of property owners that are adjacent in the highest priority section of East Fork Dairy Creek. We're being able to treat the system in a way that has the potential to really make a difference.
The first time I encountered the coho salmon in Plenty Water Creek was about 15 years ago, and there was a huge coho salmon right there in front of me, just like having Discovery Channel right there in my front yard. At first, I was a bit apprehensive with a salmon enhancement like this because I thought, oh, they're going to come in and tear everything up. And then I started thinking more and more about it, and I thought, well, what's more important? I mean, the visual of my property for a temporary period or to take care of these salmon and give them a fighting chance? I think it's worthwhile. It's going to be a great addition to the property. It's just amazing to me that they go from here to Dairy Creek through the Tualatin River, through the Willamette River, back through the Columbia, and then they make it back 4 or 5 years later.
The fact that they've persisted through all of those things for decades now gives me great hope that a recovery is possible. I think that we're in one of the most important places to be, and I think that we're going to see a response from what we've done.
That's great. Thanks, Josh. You could probably pop up slide number one there and see if we're got any questions or anything we can help.
Everything is a remix. Every song, every movie, every meme, every idea, every invention, every discovery.
Excuse that interruption.
I see that Cindy Deacon, are you ready for questions now?
Sure. Let's. There we go. And go ahead, Cindy. Terrific. Evan, you take it from here as well.
Yeah, I really appreciated your presentation, the verbal, the charts, and the video. One of the things I just wanted in particular to commend the committee on was the obvious effort that you have put into articulating and defining the processes by which you will bring us advice. We really, really appreciate that. The role of an advisory committee is a big and important one, and it seems to me like you all have really worked hard to make sure that we can hear from you in a way that is useful, on point to what we're discussing, and that brings us a sort of the full range and flavor of the conversations. I think that will be extraordinarily helpful as we deal with issues that impact family forests.
Thanks for that, Cindy. Sure.
Yeah, and this is Tom. I want to second that. I read through the charter, which frankly is really useful to have all of it, including your decision-making process. But I think the clarity there, it's really helpful for us and for others to understand what you're all about with respect to your mission. And I also want to say, the priority issues that you've talked about in the report that you provided are really important key issues, and we appreciate your input on those. It's nice to see the support of the MOU that was developed this past year as well. And as you know, we've taken action with respect to the salmon, steelhead, and bull trout rules. So, in fact, had that on our consent agenda this morning. So thank you very much for your presentation. And also, Barrett, it was really kind of great to get your own personal story about your land and how you've evolved, I guess, in terms of your relationship to that and how it might evolve further down the road. It's just, it's really nice to get a personal, to link ownership with a kind of that personal story. I think it's really, really good to hear. Thank you.
Terrific.
I see Joe Justice has his hand up.
Yeah, Barrett, I echo everything Cindy and Tom said. I really appreciated your feedback, especially I know that regulations can impact small private landowners differently. And having that, you spoke to that a little bit, Barrett, about the impact regulations have upon small woodland owners, maybe a little bit different. And that perspective, I think, is really important for this board to hear and understand. I appreciate that you're thinking about that, and thank you very much for your presentation.
And I see Cindy, I don't know if you've re-raised your hand or listed.
Yes, I have. Okay. I've got sort of two other items, one on my behalf and one on Mills's behalf that I'd like to get into the record. The other sort of on my behalf was definitely interested in your suggestion that you might be able to come back at some point and share with us the data from some national survey on family forest values. I think probably be of great interest, certainly to me and hopefully to other members of the board. And then on behalf of Mills, who was not able to attend today's board meeting, I wanted to share his continued concern about family forest viability in eastern Oregon and his strong encouragement that we continue to working together to understand the underlying causes, pressures, and designs appropriate, and how to go about designing appropriate policy and program responses to deal with that issue.
Well, I will add, Cindy, this is Evan Barnes. We did have, and we realize and understand the problems over in Eastern Oregon that they're facing. We did have a meeting planned to go over there in June, which we scrubbed due to the virus. So we had talked about other meetings too within the state, not just staying in Salem. But I think
at some point in the future, hopefully we'll be able to come out of our Zoom meetings and get together in different places around the state.
Yeah, and we'll put that one in Barrett's in his hat there to work on that one, since I'll be I don't know when we're going to get through this virus thing and when we could meet over there, but Barrett, can you put that on your to-do list?
You bet. The virus or the meeting? I'm a little busy for the virus, but and Nils's comment on the family forest viability is we're going to do some more work on that, and I'll be bringing some more material to our CFF meetings and perhaps the board from a work group I'm a part of. It's the CLCC, the Cascades to Coast Landscape Coalition, and it's really a Northwest Oregon regional workshop hosted by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and there's some other grant money involved. And it's a conservation objective group focused on how to keep working forests working while contemplating landscape design for habitat. So I hope I'm depicting that for you all well enough for the time we have, but it's basically, are there levers we can pull in landscape design, whether it's zoning or otherwise, that achieve, you know, these habitat values, whether they're transportation corridors or otherwise, that also support and maintain these as working forests? Because the biggest threat to these ecosystem services in the family forest space is conversion just basically non-viability as a working forest. So that should be interesting if we're able to make some headway there.
Great. Well, thank you again, Evan. Thank you for your service as chair. And actually, some of us will probably be gone before you are, but we never really know because ours relies on a Senate confirmation process. But I appreciate everything you've done, and thank you, Garrett, for stepping up as well.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to add at the end here, thank you to the committee, and I take it that the board accepts the report in the committee as it is in its current status.
I think, yes. Well, I don't think we have that as a formal action. I certainly see everybody embracing the report.